I'm going to call to order the meeting of the subcommittee of the Josephine County Rural Planning Commission, the subcommittee on private roads that was formed. We have about an hour and a half to convene our business this evening before we will have to break and reshuffle the wall and the tables and everything for the public hearing to follow. So hopefully we can accomplish a lot in an hour and a half. I do not have any particular items that I have other than what is on the agenda, and then we'll move into, I'm assuming, some sort of discussion, hopefully resolving a into some sort of resolution that we can bring back to the full planning commission at a future date. So, that being said, I guess we're going to talk about the matrix first, and David, is that you?
Nora.
My brain went dead for a minute. So would you like to tell us a little bit about this matrix that was prepared?
Okay, so we're talking about this matrix that I guess everybody
mine
now has
a copy of. Mine looks different than
mine. I'm sure. Mine is probably two iterations back with
COVID. Oh, okay.
Look at that.
Oh, you have
well,
that.
Well, basically, maybe I should talk from what you folks are looking at,
we don't have a page two. Evidently, it didn't print out. Whereas
there's a page two of the, but
I
it's
a page,
a
page
two.
Do you
of
have
the,
a page
of the
two? Is just
it's just contractor
the
cost.
That was for
the
feedback.
Okay, it's
back
again. So that's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Doesn't change the summary.
So, basically, what we had talked about at the previous meeting was trying to gather more detailed information in a way that might make it more understandable to see what the differences might be between a basic gravel road all the way up and through a paved road to help determine if the committee wanted to support private roads as a concept in general. We had some sketchy, we felt, information last time, and so I tried to flesh that out. And one of the results of that is this matrix that you see before you. We've got four types of roads in terms of their surface, and those are listed on the far left, as you can see. What we're looking at are estimates that were prepared by some of the contractors in our area who are qualified through Public Works to do this type of work, and they were asked for some figures, and those were provided. So what we're looking at is, what is the initial cost to build such a road? But then, perhaps you might consider it more importantly, what is it going to take to keep that road up over time? And so this is what we're looking at. We've got the aggregate or gravel road at the top, and then we move through the shale aggregate. Then we've got a chip seal, and then we've got the full paved surface, which is what currently Public Works requires for any new road. And as you can see, we've got some figures built in for what a one-lane road might cost, a two-lane road based on a road that we suppose would probably service 20 lots, which was a figure that we had kind of bantered around before. So there are certain details here that we might find interesting. If we look at the gravel road, we can see that in terms of longevity, before we really need to turn our attention to doing some kind of restoration to make sure that road stays serviceable, we're looking at what our inspector in Public Works felt was an appropriate length of time, which is 1 year. So there is an initial cash outlay to build such a road, And then, in order to bring it back up to the standard that it really should be at due to the wear and tear, there is another 25% of that initial cost that must be put back in 1 year later. This is true as you move down the matrix. As the service gets stronger, as you can see if you skip down to chip seal, he felt that after about 6 years, we're looking at investing a certain amount of money in order to get that road back up. And then down at the bottom, we've got the paved surface that really should be serviceable in a very good condition for approximately 20 years before something has to be done to make sure that any potholes or whatever has occurred.
Question. In this first one, the one lane or two lane, you talk about the initial construction cost per foot. Is that per foot of road or per square foot of road?
Well, it turns out
linear
to be
foot.
Per
linear foot.
Linear foot.
Okay.
Linear foot of 22-foot road or linear foot of 14-foot road, depending on which point you're looking
right.
at. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Some people say per foot, and when they mean square foot, and I just
yeah, know. That's a good question.
Do you have any copy of that with this? Mine only has one.
One, if I may ask, or a comment. Nora, do you have more that you want to? Or
no, I don't think so. I'd be happy to try
okay,
to answer
sure.
any questions.
Is the
Mr. Bud?
Yeah, did the estimator A and C explain why it's cheaper to have a paved surface rather than chip seal?
Part of the reason why the costs vary is it depends on which contractor has what sort of source for the materials. If an outfit like Copeland has their own ag pit, of course, that cost is contained because they're providing it themselves. And conversely, other outfits might have to get it from a Copeland or to outsource it somewhere else. And so these kinds of costs can vary.
Notice on chip seal there, you only have two estimates to average together, too.
Right.
So.
And that was specifically because in that instance, that contractor said, we won't, if the cost is so exorbitant, we won't even bother. We're not even going to do it.
One of my questions, and this is maybe not so much for Nora, but just a comment in general, I think it's really great that you've provided us with some cost options to see different, what we would call different standards of road surface, which is what I see as the basic issue. I've said, as I said at the last two meetings where we've talked about this, I'm not so sure the issue is private versus public roads as it is what is the standard of the road that we're going to adopt. I've heard comments that the current county standard makes it very difficult for developers to develop a road that meets county standards that they can sell to potential buyers of lots. And that's, I think that was the basic reason behind the LDAC recommendation, is trying to make more affordable housing for more affordable land bank and therefore housing for the citizens of the county. And I'm still personally stuck with this problem because I don't see it as a public versus private road issue as much as I do as a standards issue. And I guess I'll just throw that out for a little discussion as well. That's still bothering me.
Well, the public versus private gets to who maintains it, you know,
sure.
And after that first year or that seventh year or that 21st year, that was the issue, I thought, was who maintains it, and then this tells us what it's going to cost. So I think it's both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did some math on running these out for the per-year cost, and of both the aggregate versus the paved surface. I did not look at the shale aggregate and chip seal service once, but those, the two ends of the spectrum, essentially, Cadillac paved surface, current standard, and the gravel surface. And the math that, that I did just added that in every year, and not aggregately, but what would it cost? And at about year 6.5 to 7, I think it was, that's when the two lines intersect.
Between
when
between
20-year road at the average cost of $24.70 right. per lineal foot at a 3% maintenance cost every year
right.
meets an $11.62 per lineal foot
right.
road. With the maintenance cost of 25% a year.
So after the seventh year, either...
And there can be some debate whether one is actually 3 and one is actually 25%. Given
yeah.
those two figures, it's about
after
years.
The seventh year, whether it's public or private, it will cost more to
maintain
an aggregate road or
right.
than a paved road.
Until you get to the point
where
you're either...
Yeah. yeah.
You have to repave that paved road, and then it jumps up again, and then you go through that exercise again.
As I was looking, this is a question for Nora. As I was looking through my materials again, I still wanted to double check. Is the if we build a subdivision in the county today under the current regulations, 10 lot subdivision, is it required to be paved?
Yes.
Okay, so that is the current standard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's even maybe for a 5 lot. So it's for any subdivision?
If it's a new road, it gets paved.
If it's a new road, it gets paved. And that's where the LDAC committee had the concern about. Wanting to cut costs. First cost for the contractor, first cost for the buyer. Okay, I'm cool with that. I understand it at least.
Minimum right of way for a limited residential road is 50 feet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's another issue is the, how much land area is being taken up by the right of way itself. Because
yeah.
with a private road, we don't have a standard for what that right-of-way ought to be. Should it be an easement? If it's an easement, then
mm-hmm.
you know, obviously take the acreage out of the lot.
Comments from the committee?
Ron? You know, I feel the same way you do. And being you know, at least half or three quarters of that committee, where that came from in one direction and spearheaded by one specific person. I didn't agree with it then, and I know the cost factor bears out if you pay the potential now the right of way should be addressed, and we ought to hit it less. Conflicts are going to be less.
Just going around the table, or I'm not exactly sure how to get to consensus here other than just keep talking about it. Stan, why don't
One of our members who had the strongest feelings about private roads and the benefit thereof is here tonight. I don't know, as he expected, Mr.
Ward.
Yeah.
He gives his notice to the meeting, so we have heard from
him. So we don't have benefit of his input. I live in a planned unit development out on off of Cobra Lawn, and we have a 22 foot asphalt paved road that's, I forgot how long, half a mile long. And it's 21 years old, or 20 years old, and we just had to put a seal coat on it because it was getting cracks, and in the wintertime it would freeze and the cracks would get worse. That came to $15,000 for our half-mile road. And that was the first time in 20 years we've had to do that. We're going to looking forward to having to do it every 3 to 4 years from now on. And that compares favorably, or not just slightly worse than these 1 year alternatives, the aggregate and the shale aggregate combinations. Looks like no matter what you do, but we're organized to do it. We have a homeowners association. We have a fund that saves for it.
How many lots do you have?
13 lots. But. But there's no grading. I mean, the quality of life you get with a paved road
you know, there's no dust, there's no grading every few years to fix it. There's no potholes that we're dealing with because we fix them when they happen. I prefer living on a paved road. And that's why I, earlier in prior meetings, have said that I'm going to highly fight for a paved road standard in this county if I sit on this committee.
Sorry, I forgot your name. Larry, yeah. Larry, do you have any comments?
Well, actually, I kind of look at it a little differently. I think if you're putting in a subdivision, say, if we decide it's going to be 10 houses or 5, I think it's up to the owners of the property. As long as the road is safe, I mean, you have to bite the bullet at some point, whether it be aggregate, chip seal. There's always maintenance cost. So I think it becomes... I think it should be the prerogative of that planned unit of what you want to do. As long as you can get a fire department out there that says, yeah, we can get a fire truck. Mm-hmm. No, we can't. I think that's more to do with overhang and width than it is what kind of seal, you know.
Sure.
Like my house, I built my house 3 years ago. I put aggregate in. Now, I'm the only one on the road, but it's showing no sign. They got one pothole about that big in the middle of the road. Mm-hmm. And 3 years. Now, I know if I put 10 more cars over there every day, it would be a lot different.
You're the only traffic.
I'm the only, except for the one that shoot at when you come in. I just think that at some point you have to let whoever's doing the development make that decision of what kind of maintenance costs they have to do on the roads.
No,
as long as they're safe.
That's a driveway, though, rather than a...
Well, even a
public road, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, if it's a planned subdivision, it's not a public road, right?
Well, a PUD it is. But that's only one kind of subdivision. There's regular standard subdivisions that are...
For partition.
Well, if it's maintained by a county or a city entity, then it should meet every requirement that they have. But if you're out, say, in my neighborhood, I have a road down there, it's got 5 houses on it. The road is... across private land, it's maintained by the 5 owners. I think they should have the right to decide what they want on their road. No, they all have, you're going to have maintenance costs at some point, whether you do it every year, every third year. Like Sam was saying, you guys went for what, 10 years, 12 years?
20 years. Before
almost 20 years, so you know.
Now we are talking only about new subdivisions, not those kind of... what do you call them?
David, if I can interject, if you have a private road standard, then yes, you could be talking about taking an existing road and that is public and vacating, requesting that the county vacate the public's interest in the right-of-way and it become a private road. So it could be existing road.
One of the things that dictated me when I built my house was there's already a road behind me that goes into some houses. If I had put mine... driveway on that road, I would have then exceeded the county standard, and we'd have to go in there and widen that road and made it all the county standards as far as width and everything. So I chose, other than irritating my neighbors, I brought my road in off and give them. But that, you know, that was an option, and I would have exceeded what, I guess it's 5. Mm-hmm. 5 houses on a private. And then we'd have conformed to all the county standards on that road.
I was curious whether the issue of protecting the public's interest versus let the buyer beware is a facet of this discussion that we want to bring back. I know we've touched on it before, and I'm just an observer, but I think one of the reasons why hopefully the matrix is important is that it helps to underscore what the average potential buyer might be looking at. I think, generally speaking, my view is that the developer's interest versus the average buyer's interest are very divergent. I build it, I sell the lot, I'm gone. I don't know how many people that would be purchasing future home sites will be from out of state as they have been in the past. But I think it's probably fairly safe to say, at least in my own experience, in my job, talking with people who are fairly new transplants to the area, maybe within 10 years or so, there are many things they don't understand, including why can't the county come out and take care of the dust problem, or why can't they do this, or why can't they do that, like when we used to live in Rancho Cucamonga or wherever they came from. And you can explain that over and over to people, but they're not really grasping. You bought it. It's your problem now.
Right.
Yeah. And I just think that's very important. People struggle with it.
I understand exactly where you're coming from, and I also, being the libertarian bent to me sometimes, it is the buyer beware, though. I mean, you know, and I suggested to, I think it was Ward who made a comment. My comment was, would a developer sell more lots if they were paved? The essential, I don't know if I said it this way, but I said, okay, if you offered a subdivision with paved roads, would you be more likely to sell those lots, even though they're at maybe a slightly higher price premium, than a subdivision with gravel roads? And I don't know the answer to that question. I know personally the answer to that question is I would never buy a lot in a subdivision with a gravel road. But that's just me.
See,
and maybe that's how Stan feels too.
Yeah.
But a lot of people may not feel that way. I don't know.
I've lived on the road I'm living on now. I was born and raised there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the worst thing he ever did to that road was widen it, chip seal it, pave it.
And
I would be much happier if it was back the old standard. It was gravel. People drove slower.
I built a home 6 years ago with a 600-foot driveway, and after 2 years I had it paved. I couldn't stand it any longer. I just threw up the dust and it's also pretty steep. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know how people feel about that. I spent the money to get it paved because I.
But I think that's something the contractors are going to have to build.
I guess they're going to have to.
I think you hit it right on the head.
Let the market decide that. I guess
if a contractor develops a 5-lot plot and he puts gravel roads in and nobody buys them, maybe not because of the houses that are there or the lots, but because of the road, then maybe he needs to change what he's doing. But I think that should be their prerogative.
Yeah.
But I think Nora's saying then, suppose the developer goes with the lowest standard, the county inherits the plaque. When the developer goes to Florida and retires, the county has to answer as to why do we have this? Why do we have to live with this situation from the owners? And it's true, the county won't have to do anything about it, but part of their daily life is answering these kind of questions.
Well, and I didn't mean to imply that that was really the general thrust of my comment so much as it illustrates that people just don't get it. The other thing that is... the other issue, a minor one, but one that I think bears a comment, is that when people live on unpaved roads, again, in my own experience, they will take steps to mitigate or resolve perceived speeding or other types of problems on their own. Whether it's, why not put a boulder there? That'll keep so-and-so from going too fast. Or why not do this or why not do that? I think it was important to be very careful about it. Maybe it's not that this is not a viable option, but it's a dicey issue.
If I could just go ahead. You're the chair.
I was just looking. I didn't know who was. I didn't see David raise his hand. Go ahead, Dave.
The issues that I just want to have resolved out of the subcommittee are, do we know the dimension that we want to go to? And then that really answers, and I thought David Church really laid this out well. It's private versus public is the first question, and if we go private, what's the standard? That's the second question. So as long as the standards are consistent with what's in the design manual and understanding that the engineering design manual is not a planning commission issue. That's something that the board decides. The primary question before the planning commission is private versus public and number of lots. I think you can make recommendations on what those widths ought to be based on public testimony, based upon the matrix you have in front of you and your own experience. But the final design standards actually go through Public Works and are ratified by the board.
So that's the width and the construction standards of the road.
Construction standards
are the commissioner's decision.
Right. Right. You can decide things like, and I believe the topic came up in the last hearing, that any portion of the road that's going to serve over five lots be a certain width, and then beyond that could be a narrower width because it's not serving.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, yeah. You live on lot number two, you're not using that portion that much, at least not daily. It's beyond the fifth lot. So nailing down those standards is one of the priorities and one of the things I want to get out of your committee. I think we discussed easement versus tract, and I believe the consensus was easement was the way to go rather than tract. Tracts are handy, and that's usually within a planned unit development. That's because you have joint ownership of a tract. easement just comes with the rights to use the passage. One of the issues that I wanted to raise as well, though, is that even though sometimes we might character private roads, if the developer builds it and then sells his lots and goes away, well, in this economy, the lots aren't selling that fast. We have 2,500 vacant lots in the rural residential zones these days in Josephine County right now, 2,500. So we've got a pretty good backlog of vacant buildable parcels already. And the developers that built those lots and divided them still own a good portion of them. And so even if you might have a 10-lot subdivision, but it might take 5 or 6 years for all those lots to sell, or more than that. In the meantime, road maintenance issues are coming up. But you've got one owner that may have a majority share of what's required for that. And as a tangential issue to that, the homeowners associations could be formed by members on a private road, but they're not required to the way they are in a PUD.
Right.
That's actually a state statute.
Yeah. Right.
So that option is still available, but it's not required per state statute necessarily.
Yeah.
And that is one option for this subcommittee to consider. Do you want to require some sort of homeowner association so you do have a long-term maintenance?
Oh, I didn't realize that
was
an option.
You're not prevented from doing that.
I didn't realize that was an option. We could create a new type of subdivision with private roads that would be required to have a homeowners association. So what would be the difference between that and a planned unit development almost? I mean,
you don't have to meet the other PUD criteria.
Okay.
But it's an option.
Yeah.
Something to think about. Typically, it would be a buyer beware. Somebody comes around with a bill or gets an estimate, goes to the neighbors.
Yeah.
It's a more handshake kind of deal. That's usually what happens on private roads. And Larry, that's probably, I would imagine that's the case on your road, or is.
What's that?
The maintenance amongst your neighbors is really more of a gentleman's agreement.
Yeah, I also don't know it because, like I said, I'm the only one on my road because I chose not to come off of it to access. But yeah, I think I know neighbors with my brother and people with them, and they just have a mutual agreement. They maintain the road, you know.
Right.
One of the guys has it.
But there's not a contractual agreement.
No, there's no contractual agreement. I assume if you know, like one neighbor, you know, if he's thinking about selling his house, it might change the whole, you know.
Right. And the, you know, just for clarification, the LDEX recommendations didn't talk about that element. It was just
that's all the baggage that goes with it.
Yeah,
and that's part of the problem. Right. I think we're kind of wrestling with it. Ron, you haven't said much. Do you have any comments?
Well, you know, I was looking at this other county. Looking at what Jackson County is doing now with the proposed, and the proposal looks like pretty stringent. Traffic State Report called the DET, I don't know what that is. So, Douglas County has private roads, planning county.
I think that was one of the LDAC's comments, was that they looked at all these other counties and they all allow private roads and Justin County doesn't, so they were wondering why. That was one of their basic comments.
Certainly the the maintenance thing is a little concerning because.
Fights between neighbors. my planned unit development, and where I said everything is just so hunky dory.
Oh, that didn't come off.
That's weird.
It's a magnet.
Oh.
It's a magnet.
Coverlon, oops, comes off here, and then my road or Wild Rose Lane comes off there, and it's a cul-de-sac. Then we have lots off of here, park, and lots here. Then we have one house that is, does not use, let's see, we've got one house over here who has its own separate access to Coverlon. And he's required to have a road from here to here so that some of us in a fire can get out. And we can go through his yard and go out his driveway. Well, there's two lots involved and they don't get along. And so we are fighting to get them to keep this road a gravel road. This is paved. This is paved. And this is gravel. And we have to have this loop. Well, this gravel part depends on two owners.
The original covenants, though, required that loop.
Yes.
But just to be gravel.
Yeah, it's on the
they are
map.
Part of the planning unit development.
They are.
So, oh, okay.
And it's on the map.
My daughter's not mine.
No. Your daughter lives here.
The only thing I get from that is that would have had been an original property owner to have that, because you wouldn't have been able to do that with multiple property owners.
If
you couldn't get multiple property owners to
pay. I think you're right, because at one time on Ann's lot, that was a shared well with two other houses.
The original superintendent of schools was here in an old house. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is this gravel portion, we're having the devil of a time getting the fire marshal to sign off on it as a legitimate access road for him and us, because these two neighbors don't get along.
I think
Though we have covenants and restrictions and we can take them to court and all this, we don't want to have.
But you're bringing up the exact same thing that you're saying may potentially happen if your brother sells. The whole dynamics of all of that goes out the window. Now you've added this brand X in there, and you don't know what the hell is going to happen.
Yeah, a new owner.
Even though you may want to have gravel, if it's pavement, they're not going to change it. If it's gravel, they can go do all sorts of things to it.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's one road that not gets over off of the old Applegate Highway that you go down a dirt road in front of one house. About 250 yards of chip seal, and it was back to back working. So that's a private road, I guess. You know, they pretty much do what they want. The guy didn't like the dust in front of his house, so, you know. And at one time, log trucks used to go over there quite a bit, doesn't it? More. Okay.
I think everyone around this table.
Oh, good.
You know, something like this was done, and it had to be a single property owner in order to allow it to happen, because of all the PUDs we've done. We can't force a different property owner to have access. The access has to be granted at the time the subdivision is designed and put together.
Well, I don't know how it went here, but that's the way it is now.
Right, but it just proves the point I'm trying to make is 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, somebody sells, somebody moves, different body comes in.
Right. Yeah, it seems to me that it would be in the contractor's best interest to get something like that in place, because what happens if, like say on your road, you guys have all found out that there's a culvert there, and you didn't have that agreement, and you got a flood like 64 or 72 or whatever, and it washed the culvert out. And you know, the first guy on the property, he's going, I don't go across that creek. I don't care if you have culvert
or not. That's right.
But, and you know, the ones above him, you know, are they going to put all of them? You know, the guy in the end, he could actually go with no sorts of agreements. He might just put a road right out to the county road and say, heck with everybody. I don't know. But I mean, I think that, you know, it just seems like that the contractor's got to be the one that gets those things in place. And here's a lot. If you want to buy a lot, here's a homeowners association, and you have to be a part of it. And I think it just goes right back to the contractor when they do it.
A contractor should pay for it. Should be part of it.
Should be.
Malcolm, you haven't chimed in too much yet. You're
on the subcommittee.
Oh, well, but you are on the planning commission and you're here, so.
I don't have a quorum, so I guess I'm okay.
I guess, ruling on that, is he okay to talk? He's not on the subcommittee?
I know you didn't want more people on the planning commission.
Yes,
five. I do have a few comments if you want to
hear them. What?
You're also a member of the public.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
this is an advisory body.
It's an advisory. It's a subcommittee. It's not a planning commission meeting. So, and
I think we should hear from Mr. Swift.
Mr. Swift, too. I was going to give him a chance to speak if he wants to. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I want everybody to realize that a lot of these issues that you've been talking about apply more or less equally to a restricted residential road. Not exactly the same. You know, you've got the same issues, so. Something to think about. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about these numbers. This chart, Nora, I think this is just the surface cost you've got down here, right?
Like there's no earthwork.
Pardon me?
There's no earthwork.
Right. Okay. They seem real high to me because I've built a lot of driveways and a couple of roads and private roads. I did because I have three lots that are served by one private road that was actually an official road that the county just accessed. But anyway, I typically put down about 2 inches of rock. I can't imagine putting down 8 inches of 3/4 minus. And I just scratched out some numbers here, and these are conservative. If we use today's prices for the rock, I would be put in $3.60 per foot. But I should be, I think, a little less than that. And I've had to repair it to the tune of no more than 25% every 3 or 4 years. So. I'm not sure who figured out these numbers, but they're pretty conservative. So, I mean, I can't imagine having to replace 25% of the aggregate on the HSD every year. That's just a comment.
The other thing that made me wonder is the number of how many lots do we allow to be allowed a private road? Now, Jackson County has up to 12, then Douglas County has up to 50.
Yeah.
Definitely 50 would just beat the crap right out of whatever the strip is, right?
Happened to speak to the Douglas County Planning Director and asked him about that standard because of private roads coming close to that. Most of them serve just a few lots.
But they allow it, but nobody ever does it. Yeah, okay.
Well, let me just say one more thing. I'm not in favor of this unrestricted private roads because my issue is mentioning that too. We can make this safe. I feel like the people should be able to build the road as crummy as they want as long as people can get in and out during a fire or a flood or mostly a fire. And that's, I think, the big challenge there is how can you write it where it'll happen. But, you know, I own property on a restricted residential road, and we have all the same kind of issues that everybody would on private roads, like trying to get, there's actually six people because the county screwed up and let them have five driveways, but trying to get six people to agree on anything is a major pain in the rear. So the road doesn't really get maintained as well as some of us would like, and gets maintained a lot more than others would like. And there's,
but that is a public road.
Correct.
Privately made. Yeah. No, that's. I don't know. I guess the issues are going to happen either way, aren't they?
Well, the only way I can see having that is the homeowners association where everybody has to pay dues and money to work with, and as a whole
wouldn't be true then. To answer kind of the counter to that, you're on a privately maintained public road. So if it was privately owned, the only difference would be the ownership. But
if you have the same road maintenance,
throughout the county, if things are already being worked out, then maybe
you're saying you have the same road maintenance agreement, whether it's private or public.
Maybe you have your road maintenance agreement on your road?
We do, yeah.
Oh, you do.
It just basically says you have to maintain it to approximately the standard that it was when it was built. And if the subbase comes through, we have to keep that covered up. And it's really don't have to do much. Usually one or two truckloads every 3 or 4 years on a quarter mile long road. So it's just marginally okay.
It's too bad that the fire districts aren't here tonight, but I think they are the ones that are going to put a lot of influence on these private subdivisions. If they build a road that the fire truck says, or the fire department says, I can't guarantee your safety, therefore, and then the insurance company is going to say, well, they can't guarantee your safety, then you can't have insurance.
You're
not going to
go loans
to the bank.
So I agree, except that I never had an insurance company that required that I have coverage by a fire company at all.
I do.
I do.
Insurance
company
different.
That was one of the things I had to do to get part of my permission when I was in my house. The bank was saying that if you can't make your fire coverage, I won't give you a loan.
I didn't get a bank loan. So
okay. Mr. Werner has a comment that he would like to make.
Okay. I just wanted to revisit what LDAC actually proposed, because that is what was before you. So just briefly, and you should have the standards reviewed, and if you don't.
Here it is, right here.
What page? Is that that reddish?
Yeah.
It's page 4 of 7.
On that reddish one? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
And I just wanted to go through it real briefly, because in item G on page 5 of 7, they actually do talk about road maintenance agreements as part of the recommendation. So I think that let's review what LDAC proposed and then kind of mirror that against what the committee is discussing. But in 81-300 private road subsection A, they make reference to civil engineer registered in the state of Oregon, ASHCO standards. A registered engineer provides an inspection of the work and provides a written statement the road's been constructed in accordance with the design plans, and that would be prior to final plat. All private roads designed and constructed support 50,000 pounds. The statement under 81-300 does not require when that statement comes through. My recommendation would be part of final plat, which means the road is constructed before you're selling lots.
Mm-hmm.
And that might get a little sticky depending on how many lots you're serving, because it might be a developer's desire to sell the first 4 lots and build that portion of the road, then have that capital build the next portion of road, but we've got a plat for signing off on the plat all at the same time, and we either want the road constructed all the way, or the county doesn't take bonds for private roads, so we don't want to build them. So that's an issue to think about as well. So the timing of 81-300A is missing for me.
Yeah.
So when does that requirement kick in? Is it prior to building permit? Is it prior to final plat? When is it? And letter B, all private roads should be designed and constructed to support 50,000 pounds. You from the fire marshal, what you wanted to see on roads and bridges. Then there's a standard in here about suitable heights, top course of rock, support 50,000 pounds, and then a grade standard. It's more than 5 lots. It's more than 15% asphalt concrete. Minimum driving surface of 20 feet, minimum. If it serves more than 10 lots, is the next portion. And then single lane width if it's less than 10 lots. Now, if there's not a restriction on the plat that road could be extended, you could have a single lane road, and then if the lot at the end of the road happens to be big enough for redivision or partition, what do you do? So it's just a question I have that's not answered. Fire marshal talked about vehicle turnout, as does subsection E. And then where a single lane road, private road intersects a public road, which will be increased to 22 feet for a distance of 50 feet to accommodate 2 lanes of travel at the intersection. And the only issue that our county attorney had with some portions of the subsections of G. And G is talking about creating a covenant for road maintenance agreement that binds property owners for the lots and parcels that receive access from the road. But within that, we have a couple of references to the road maintenance agreement shall be enforceable by any property owner obligated under the agreement and by Josephine County. The problem Steve Rich has and myself as well is that we're making reference to a road maintenance agreement. I'd stop there, because if the road maintenance agreement has details in it that are enforceable by Josephine County, it's not a private road maintenance agreement.
Right.
And the county doesn't want to be in the business of actually enforcing those, because it's not a county road.
Right.
So there's some portions
of the maintenance agreement between the using the property owner.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's something to consider, and probably a good idea, that be recorded with the plat. A note on the plat that all are subject to the road maintenance agreement as attached, or something like that.
But the specifics of that and the parties in it, and Josephine County is not going to be a party of it, that needs to be clear.
So if somebody's enforceable, that means they can sue somebody else.
Yeah.
I think you have a perfect idea there is, you know, if it's going to be a quiet road county industry.
Yeah. Right.
Run as quickly as you can.
But, you know, the G1, I think it's trying to address the issue. Mm-hmm. You know, I certainly don't fault the authors for doing that, but shall provide for monetary contributions toward maintenance expenses equally divided or proportionally divided based upon road frontage or acreage. I don't think that's the county's call. I think it's their call on how they want to do that.
Yeah.
And whether it's a road maintenance agreement that attaches an annual fee set with the beginning of the plat, which is then adjusted for consumer price index over the years, however they want to do that, that's up to them. The county should pretty much stop that. You have to have a road maintenance agreement of some sort, and they maybe keep it there.
I think they should have something on there, like on the restricted residential road. When I bought that lot, I had to sign that I agreed to the road maintenance agreement. Everybody who buys the lot has to sign accepting it.
And again, that's kind of a way to address the issue without getting into specifics, because the county doesn't have a dog in the fight.
This 81,300 that they have recommended as a addition, I guess it's an addition, that doesn't currently exist. It just,
that's
this would
correct.
Be an addition to the rural zoning code.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
And that the maintenance standards of the bridges under G3. Again, the county doesn't enforce that, so I don't know how to require that.
Well,
a note on the plat is typically enforceable by the county. It could be a note on the plat stating what the interval should be, but
that's
going to be subject to the maintenance agreement.
Okay.
Recommended but not required. I mean, this is what we think you should do. If you're going to have five houses on this road, it should be a certain width. It should, the culvert should be, you know, whatever the standards are, but you can't enforce it, or you don't want to enforce it.
You know, in keeping with the idea, did you ever hear that, Malcolm?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I kind of caught something out of the corner of my eye there. In keeping with the idea of simplicity here, and I'm not so sure that a subcommittee or even the Planning Commission as a whole should wordsmith a new article for the rural, you know, for the land use document. If I was thinking of how we can approach this, it would be better to me to say, okay, let's make a simple statement, kind of like the staff said in their last recommendation, which was a staff recommendation, that's, I think they came out in favor of private roads, five lots or less. And that was like a two or three sentence. And there was no connectivity issues. That was just about it. I just see us, my thinking is that we should either make a recommendation that is the case, whether it's 5 lots, 10 lots, 20 lots, or whatever, and then let staff and Public Works come back to us with a section for the...
Do the wordsmithing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to be able to sit here and do... And that was my problem at the last meeting. I see this committee, this subcommittee, as only giving that guidance to the staff and letting them come back to us. Now, how does everyone respond to that?
We did that in the cell tower meeting because specifically the, I don't want to say the opposition, because it was not really a true statement, but it was very critical about T's and I's and P's and Q's. Committee and expedition of moving the process forward. It didn't need a period here and a comma there. So we planning directors
mm-hmm.
who conferred with the driving force. And we got a consensus. And the things were worked out in a session, brought back to the committee at the next meeting, and then we reviewed it and made sure it was cost-effective and everything went forward. But that way the committee itself didn't waste a lot of
Time. Well, that's what I'm thinking of. It's just, I think this committee should give the staff direction. Oh, actually, we'll end up making a recommendation to the Planning Commission, and then the Planning Commission will give the staff some direction. But item number three, the recommendation was private roads should be limited to serve properties in areas of limited access that serve few lots, and it says five or under, or specialized uses such as business or industrial parks and institutional campuses, and where streets have little potential for being public road network due to limitations that make road extension impractical. I could support that, as it's written, personally, right now.
With the requirement of road maintenance agreements.
Well, I would further say, and yeah, we could say road maintenance agreements, and then let staff come back to us with a new article, whatever, whether it's LDAC's article verbatim or whether it's their wording.
For our motion.
Well, I don't know. Do we do motions in subcommittees? I'm new at this. So.
No.
Hey, Robert's rules of order.
Can I? Sure.
Pertain. Throw out just a way to frame what I think you're saying. I wrote down in the course of our discussion here some major questions that I think I just, if I've got the answers to these, then I think I can take that kind of direction. And I'll just read through all my questions real quick. Private roads at all? That's my first question. Residential, commercial, or industrial? All three, some combination thereof. Should we use an existing standard of right-of-way lots and width?
Right-of-way what and width?
Say that again.
Paved width or surface width, drivable surface. And do we have an existing standard that we want to jump to, which makes it easier? Recommend something out of the design manual when you're there. And should the county address maintenance costs or a maintenance agreement? I have the answers to those questions. I know what's up?
Well, I think number three is really the answer. No. I mean, if it's a private enterprise, let that enterprise, the county should not be responsible for any of that as far as, you know. I mean,
I'm not talking about the county being responsible for the cost. I'm saying, should the county's standards address maintenance costs in some sort of, okay?
Because yeah. Like you were saying, you know, you might, as a contractor, you may be able to, you know, do it for a lot less, and why should you be held to some standard as far as cost, as long as it...
Okay, so you're suggesting that they don't even have a standard.
You don't need a cost. I don't mean number. I mean
should make the
responsibility for me.
Responsibility. No. He said cost.
But I don't think he means responsibility. Mm-hmm. I think it's private. It's not the county's responsibility at all.
But should maintenance agreements be required? I think there should be a standard.
Yeah. Mr. Swift wants to make a comment, and I think I'm going to allow it.
I think you said you were a libertarian.
No, I'm not necessarily, but I have a tendency sometimes to be that way.
Sure. Well, it comes to economics, but I'm very much so. But I just refer the committee to think for a few minutes about where all this came from. The county commissioners, in their deliberations, were looking for areas to facilitate development. And the commission given LDAC was to look through the code, find areas where our code was more restrictive than required by all the state mandates, and make a recommendation as to whether those things should be altered or not. So, I've been to any number of your meetings, not all of them, but there's always a lot of conversation back and forth as to whether we ought to be limiting development. Well, the board, in undertaking this task, answered that question, and it's not really relevant at this point. The question is the change, the deletion of the restriction that sits going to facilitate development or is it going to impede development? That was the job given to LDAC. Mm-hmm. Then the other thing, I couldn't help but think, when I saw this cost of maintenance analysis, whatever have you, what do you care? That's like saying you guys want to write a rule that if I'm going to buy a chainsaw, it's got to be a still rather than a Husqvarna, because maintenance is going to be less on that. It's my property. And if you will, the use of my property is what in the law they call economic rights as opposed to civil rights. So when you're saying you've got to go out and buy a still, or to be famous, you've got to go out and buy some health insurance or be penalized, you know, it's an issue of government overstepping its bounds. If this developer elects to go the cheapest way out and uses aggregate and nothing more, in the marketplace, he's not going to last. He may score once or twice, but he ain't going to last. The public figures it out. If you're libertarian, you have faith in the people. They are not idiots. There are a few, but by and large, they look out for themselves pretty damn well. 2 cents. Yeah. Probably all the opinion is worth.
And I appreciate that.
Madam?
I just want to list a few things that I think is important for you guys to consider. One is whether you go 5 lots or 10 lots on a private road or 0 lots or just commercial or residential. Again, I'm looking at safety. I'm not looking at cost. I'm not looking at whether it's good or bad for development. I'm in favor of making it better for development, encouraging development, but not at the cost of public safety. Driveway approaches was another issue that was covered pretty well by Cameron on his presentation months ago about whether the truck can get off the private road onto the driveway. I think there should be standards for that. I think there should be, you need to consider the width. You know, we talked about, I think it's one of the last meeting we had about this, I think we kind of had a consensus about maybe it was enough to get a truck and a car to pass. Mm-hmm. So that would be my suggestion with it. Point. Turnaround at the end, you have to have a turnaround like that. I think the standards you have now are excessive, but I think you ought to have something in there. And the surfacing, Chuck DeJambier and I have had a lot of discussion about this for the Article 76 things that we went through, and he was happy with 3 inches of shale, period. Far cry from what these charts are, and it's just a kind of a minimal idea, but if that's enough for him, for public safety, that's certainly not for me. And he also had the suggestion that we also passed for the Article 76 amendments of putting shale in the ditch. But this is specifically for certain roads. You can post granite slope over 6%. So I don't know if it's better or not. That's an erosion issue there. But anyway, if somebody the water a little more, there's a few other things that probably ought to be in there.
No pun intended.
Right.
This sent with the packet? It was, was it?
Nope. I never received that. Never received it.
Do you know how long it took me to do that?
I think we'll be the next one. John,
help me. This is something you folks haven't seen yet.
No, I haven't seen it.
Didn't you make reference to this?
Can you read
No. He made reference to an older document that Snyder had.
He was, that was an LDAC document.
Those Jackson County standards.
Yes.
I have that kind of information on here, but it has evolved since Michael Snyder gathered that information, and I expanded it, and then I broke it out by, because last time we had quite a lively little discussion about bridges.
Yes.
What do we do about bridges? So what I ended up doing was making this other exciting matrix, which talks about various aspects of bridges, various aspects of roads. And then I compared what Douglas County does, what Jackson County does, and then I chose Clark County in Washington because they have really embraced the whole idea of private roads. In fact, they have an engineer that is devoted to that, especially as it relates to bridges on private roads. I communicated with her quite a bit. All I was trying to do was show various ways that counties that have come before us have viewed this whole issue of, do we want to do a private road or not? Do we want to beat it to death? Do we want people to do what they want? Where do we come down on this? And so, for instance, Douglas County, as far as bridges go, defer completely to fire authority. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it. Whatever the fire authority says goes. Jackson and Clark both have put out their own standards. Then when we skip down to just roads in general, we're talking about, do they do maintenance via a recorded agreement? Yes, across the board. Connectivity is private. To private, okay. What's appropriate there? And we talked about that last time, and I have where they weigh in on that. And several other things like turnouts, grade, minimum width, is it an easement, is it a tract, et cetera, et cetera. Is it a single lane? The most interesting thing for me about this was in Clark County, they don't even allow a single lane private road.
Do we have this chart?
I think you're the only one that has it, and for a low price of $29.95. Or I can just go photocopy it if you would like to see it, and that's okay with me.
If you wouldn't mind doing it, I would like to see it. We actually talked about that at the last meeting, and
that was intended to go out to the committee, and somehow didn't
get there. Okay, I'll go copy it.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that we should really talk about, and so if you'll remember, is how many lots are we going to allow if the private road? Are we going to risk? I mean, I certainly think that the one county that says you're going to have, like, I don't know, 50 or 59, that's kind of ridiculous. But
on what you're saying, Jackson County, their max is 12. Do you know how they arrived at that figure?
I doubt if there's a magic number.
Sounds like a negotiated.
I doubt if there's a magic number.
Probably kept the subcommittee and came down the number.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, you have 13 on yours.
Right.
I know the subdivision he lives in. It's really well planned. I mean, it's well thought out. It's a really good. Whoever laid that out did it really well.
Right.
And especially with the fact with Yank, I know he wasn't you, but. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, it just seems like. And then I can show you others in this county that were probably done very haphazardly. You know.
And well, no matter how you write a standard, I think you're going to have the good, bad, and the ugly in any.
Right. And what do you do, like somebody mentioned earlier, I want to develop a 5-acre parcel, and then I've got it, after I've got it done, the landowner above me goes, well, I'll sell you 5 more. And then now, because now you have 10 or 12 on there instead of 5, and that changes the whole dynamics of the how wide the road can be, you know, what kind of turnout that. So then what do you do?
What do you do there? A situation where you have with a potential which says, okay, if you're going to extend it beyond 5 lots, you're going to have to go to a different road standard. Or you're going to come up with it automatically. The next person wants to subdivide, sorry, Charlie, if you're going to do it, you've got to fix this other road and make it safe.
Well, absolutely.
Which is part of what you need to do in thinking of what that easement width should be. Because the easement width should be big enough to expand, some sort of expansion allow for that. So if your next bump up is going to exceed your easement width, then you get a problem.
Or you should just leave it up to the next developer to go buy it. If you're
planning
ahead for it. You know, as far as not wide enough, go purchase some more easement.
By way of experience, down for years down in Orange County, California, there was all of these private roads. There were between 11 and 13 lots on the length of these roads. And eventually it became the issue of maintenance. And of course, all 13 residents were all real picky about doing it. And the big thing became, thank you, get the county to take it over, which these property owners
confronted with maintenance are going to want to pass that maintenance off to the county. But of course, to do so, the county says, no, you got to bring it up to our standards. We're not just going to take it. So at that point, property owners have the choice of living with hefty maintenance forever or biting the bullet, bringing this thing to whatever standards the county sets for its own property, and passing it off to the county once they've done that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple resolution.
That's for existing properties, but we're trying to develop a standard for anything that's new. And hopefully if the standard would be such.
I love that response. We don't care as long as the fire department's happy with it.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that. Because if that's where their ordinance is written, then and I see what I saw what Douglas County said there, that opens up a can of worms too. But
mm-hmm.
The fire department probably doesn't have any legal authority to make anybody do anything about it. So that's kind of, I don't quite understand that, but maybe they do, but I'm not aware of it.
Well, they can refuse to cross a bridge.
Well, sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They can refuse to go to the property, but I don't think they could find any legal method of making them fix the bridge.
The state fire marshal standard is what she's referring to. So, the authority approving the road or not is just whatever their standard is. Then.
Yeah.
And we have one district, and then we've got. Because we don't have fire authority for the whole county, so that obviously.
Let's go back to David's questions here. Are we leaning towards allowing private roads in this subcommittee, or are we saying that all roads should be public? I'm seeing a mixed bag of consensus here.
Other counties allow private roads. I think it's only reasonable to allow private roads, but should we limit those private roads to, say, 10 lots? You know, where do we stop?
The answer to private at all consensus is it yes? Is it
I think we should allow private roads.
I think we should have private.
Strong movement.
And I also think we should have private, but with limitations.
Right.
Okay.
Well, the question is, should we or not?
And the answer appears to be the consensus is, sorry, Stan, but we should.
Okay.
Then the next question becomes, you said...
Number of lots.
Number of lots. I have a feeling...
And that number of lots could be divided into residential, commercial, industrial, or...
Well, let's tackle residential first, I think. I feel like... And I don't know why I can't defend it, but 10 seems like a magic number to me. It also is consistent with our other, we just voted on last meeting, with those lots.
I think 10 would be...
Dan, you can still weigh in on this.
Yeah, thanks. Go for 5. 5 is my
good number. 10. Larry?
I think 10 would be sufficient. I mean, would work.
Yeah.
No.
10. We're here because we couldn't pass it at the full commission, so we thought put something forward.
Well, one of the reasons was at the commission that I wasn't willing to do private roads at all,
yeah,
because I felt that roads are a constitutional government responsibility. Yeah. But I kind of abandoned that position, so I'm backing off on that one.
Because
it
says made that obviously painfully clear that it's not.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about that
nail back
between 8 and
10. Okay. Are you saying you think
10
is the starting point that we
can agree on? Yeah, I think. Well, Ron, I think 10 is the starting point.
Okay.
No, I think 10 is one of the two lanes after we cover.
Okay.
Why is that a cover? The part is over 5.
Is that the RLDC you have with? I did not bring my copy of it.
No.
Oh, I didn't bring mine either.
This is my UGB book.
Give your...
Well, I can go get mine.
Yeah. Ron, are you okay around 10?
I don't remember the UGB limitation on number of lots, and I want to look that up real quick.
So how do you feel about the
the institutional, commercial, industrial. Explain to me, maybe I need some learning, is we're talking about like a commercial subdivision?
No.
Okay, like a business
you
park.
You can have a half-acre lot.
A business rural, park, something like that.
Commercial zone, and you could divide that into lots and sell them or lease them, but they would be individual lots, and it could be a half-acre apiece.
Rendata?
Yeah, and the one-off monument. I always get the name wrong. What's it called? North Valley.
North Valley industrial.
Those are individually owned industrial lots. And my staff recommendation last time around was that I can see a good application of private road there. Those are just access businesses. They're connecting to a public road. All the heavy truck traffic is pretty hard on a road. The public really shouldn't be bearing that cost. That can be borne by the people that are using that road, their customers. I think for security reasons, being able to gate a private road, you can't gate a public road, so the public pays for it, they get access to it. So I think for security reasons and the gate issue, limiting access, keeping the public out of there so we don't have safety issues of people, you know, wandering into a place where heavy equipment's being moved back and forth, a private road system in industrial parks and commercial, some commercial subdivisions makes sense.
I'm seeing everyone.
Where could this happen in our county?
Kirby. Yep. Rendata.
Yeah. We already have one. Have the roads in North Valley. They're public roads, right? But they could just as well be.
And they could appeal to have the right-of-way vacated and have it become a private road and be privately maintained. And then they could, you know, gate it, come out with the access, that sort of thing.
There's probably a few folks out there I know would be unhappy to do
that. Actually, some of the industrial area that's up, someone from Merlin helped me out, the road that goes up to the Raft and Grayback Forestry, what's the name of that?
Ott Road.
Yeah, the one that heads up the hill.
Okay.
Yeah. Or. Goes up to Sotar and some of the others up there.
Turns off right track.
Yeah. That road accesses industrial lands. It also accesses a couple of residences up there. But eventually, those industrial lot owners may want to subdivide into smaller parcels, or they may want to have that road become a private, limited access road for their businesses only. Gated at night for security reasons, that sort of thing. So that's where I think, if we're thinking about number of lots or limitations, for commercial and industrial parcels, you're more likely to get a road maintenance agreement among businesses and commercial and industrial lot owners that are more able to, you'll probably have a higher level of sophistication in a road maintenance agreement, has been my experience.
Okay.
But I think there are some other issues that commercial industrial parcels have that residential doesn't. And that's why I suggested maybe calling those out differently if you choose to.
It sounds like we have a general consensus that we're okay with commercial industrial. Okay. Then you said to point you towards an existing standard, and that's where I start struggling, really. But I guess we would make it a minimum standard.
Back to the number of lots again. For residential, you came to a consensus
of 10,
which is consistent with the PUD, by the way.
That's right.
And then commercial, industrial, 10 as well, or no limitation?
Oh, jeez.
That's feasible.
Depends on the size of a lot.
Yeah. No limitation if they build a road that's 2 lanes and people carrying traffic. I mean, I guess 1,000 lots would be a different issue, but that's not going to happen.
Well, you can have a half-acre lot. So, Rendata is 180 acres.
Mr. Swift?
You've got a problem when you go to commercial as opposed to the residential. 10 residential lots, not that much traffic. When you go to commercial, theoretically, there should be a whole lot of traffic.
Yeah.
Right. So, dimensions of this road, when you're talking about for commercial, should be altogether different than the
same to me. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
I would think at least 20 foot wide as opposed to 8 foot residential.
Yeah.
open up another can of worms by talking about commercial industrial, unfortunately, but in jurisdictions I've worked in, smaller number of lots in commercial and residential and industrial seems to work. If you want to do 10 across the board, I think that's fine, but Mr. Swiss made a good point that you'll have a different standard that you probably want to see if we choose a standard for commercial and industrial.
But it's too bad Ward's not here, because I know he does own a fairly substantial piece out in the Berlin area. He might, you know, weigh in on that with a whole different, but I'm sure that, you know, he's going to have to agree that the standards have to be higher for commercial. You know, you have to, like, say, wider roads, you know, better paving, better surfaces.
More traffic.
Because you're going to, well, it's bigger traffic. You know, you're talking, you know, big trucks. Yeah. So.
Well, in the research I did about what counties have what standards, they do allow for private roads in commercial/industrial settings, and they do have a different set of standards, not always a terrible departure from what residential requires, but there are differences. Mm-hmm. So apparently they've, you know, looked at that, addressed it, and come up with something they think works.
Yeah, well, and given the fact that a commercial or industrial developer knows who his client is, mm-hmm. he knows what he's going to have to build in terms of a road, you may be able to get away with a minimum standard that at least gets residences where you've got private property owners that do not have the resources of commercial developers to pay for that road at a minimum standard. And it could be the same minimum standard, just relying upon the developer.
Yeah, there's no reason. That's why I said we want a minimum standard, because there's no reason why any developer couldn't exceed the minimum standard. That's their prerogative.
And in a commercial industrial development, they maybe have the incentive mm-hmm. to do so.
The other thing, so we're going to go with commercial 10 lot, commercial business park subdivision, is that?
Well, let me ask Dave, did you say about there's a parcel that's 180 acres?
Yeah, Renata.
Their tax parcels put together and their collective ownership is 185 acres.
Oh, it's. If we do the industrial part, what we're saying is only 18 acres for one lot? Or
or you could have a large lot and you could have smaller lots.
Or if it exceeded the 10, they would be public streets.
Or you could have
several. Could have a public street network with private roads going off it that serve smaller lots.
Which
would more likely be the
state. They're already pretty much surrounded by public roads. North and south.
Right.
East anyway.
It's like a very deep piece of property. Long.
Right. There's some topographical limitations that would really, and that may be part of the reason, frankly, for encouraging private roads on parcels on a project like Randonic, mm-hmm. is because the public road, to build the public road standards and to maintain to a public road standard, might be pretty costly for that industrial park. We've got topographic issues, they cross the creek, we've got mm-hmm. everything.
So that's land, is it just slated for one industrial park, or could it have more than one?
They have several parcels.
Yeah.
They could sell off pieces of what they have.
Mr. Swift?
The other half of that is probably, it's a great example of why planning just doesn't work. That scheme that will make that work, if it works, is that you have the residential all intermixed within the industrial sites so that people are not commuting. So that the usage on the roads is contemplated to be bicycle or foot traffic. That's the plan.
Now, whether it will work or not, I don't know. That's the scheme. And when you then lay into their scheme the idea of providing for all this vehicular traffic, you're working across purposes.
Well, I think they're planning to put all the residents up on that secret ground on Arctic Dash.
Where specifically, I don't know. But the whole concept of the Rendon scheme that led to the grant promoting was the elimination of commuting for the employees. And that's the scheme.
But they had that map that was published in the paper that showed all the little cottages and trailers and stuff all up on the steeper part. north side on Louse Creek and the industrial down on the south side is my recollection. It's okay. Shared traffic.
Another option that the subcommittee might want to contemplate is that for commercial and industrial parcels, private roads may be allowed. If a master plan for the site justifies their existence.
When you're dealing with any commercial, there's going to be a traffic study involved. Isn't there almost always in regard to where, if anything, at least where that commercial development abuts a public street, the agency, whether it's the county or the city, is going to require a traffic study. So there's going to be issues there, I would think, in terms of how much traffic would be generated by a different type of development. And if it was one type, it might generate more traffic than another type.
Well, I think that's probably a true statement, although I'd have to defer to David. But I recall that in our code, traffic studies are specifically addressed only with respect to development within the North Valley Industrial Park, which makes your point perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
There are other instances in which Public Works can request a traffic impact study, which of course is an extensive, expensive undertaking. But with respect to the industrial park, it's right there in black and white. You will do one.
Okay. But that's only one particular specific area out in Merlin.
Well, it is, but for me the larger issue is the fact that it is an industrial park and will have all the attributes that you just described and therefore necessitates such a study to make sure that
in which case that would lead to a traffic study for that sort of development would lead to suggestions about how wide the street should be, et cetera,
Jack. Addressed by the code. And as far as only North Valley, you could talk to your guy Hockenden, with his property way the heck out there. He can't get a development because of the failing off ramp from I-5,
right.
which
yeah.
is miles away. The code addresses all of that, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's required. But the this section, what we're contemplating here today, is something that you said our code doesn't have to be there.
Let's move on to the last of David's questions. Is he wanted answered whether it should include, maintenance costs or maintenance agreements. My feeling is that at least in the plat and the covenants, there should be a maintenance agreement for that all the property owners sign up to.
Right.
Yeah. I mean. And it shouldn't be the county. County shouldn't.
No.
County should have no entanglement.
Yeah, I don't think they should, and I don't think they want to.
They are doing a lot of it. We won't. We'd be more accurate. Just won't.
What about number of lanes? Did we already?
That was under standards, and we didn't really come to a conclusion there.
What's that?
Standards, foot lanes, and all that kind of stuff. You suggested to pick, reference you towards an existing standard. But I think it's such a nebulous thing to do that because it depends on whether it's 5 lots, 10 lots, commercial, industrial, retail, manufacturing. I mean, there's a whole lot of different options you could have.
Well, we could just say never less than 2 lanes. I mean,
we've got standards that we just passed a month or so ago in Article 76.
I think residential is pretty easy.
It's residential with 5 lots of 1 lane, anything more than 5,
okay.
You've got to have 2 lanes for all.
And I think we're pretty okay with that.
But then commercial, I'd just say 2 lanes. Personally.
2 lanes? Would there would be no logic ever to have a 1-lane road in a commercial development?
There would be a safety logic to it.
Yeah.
Probably would make it a good idea.
Okay. Did I help you out?
So we went beyond giving just general direction. We got into the nitty-gritty.
Well, but that was an error. Well,
it helps.
So if we're
not going to address maintenance costs, but we are going to require a maintenance agreement. The county will not be a party to the agreement.
Correct.
Private roads, yes. Residential, commercial, and industrial, we were looking at 10 lots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Using the existing standards of the right-of-way and number of lots, whatever, What I was referring to was the table of the TSP that I directed you to in the last hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And that has existing standards. And the beauty of going with an existing standard is you don't have to modify the transportation system plan. You don't have to modify anything. You can say, there's a standard, there it is, I'm going to go with that.
Do we have a copy of that?
That's expedient to do now.
That would be the traffic engineer.
Shall I go back down there? I was going to bring it.
2995.
You want me to run down there and get it, or?
If you would, please.
Sure.
And we're running out of time.
Yeah, we're running out of time here, but...
I want to throw a question at you, too.
Sure.
And I don't have to answer today, but I certainly want to get on the table. If you do more than 10, should we have an outlet to do so if they have the proper permit or the proper application to associate with it?
Reference to a
master road and then brought like 20 lots off of it.
Reference to a master plan.
Yes.
I
think there should be for the limit, you know, potentially it can only happen in a couple spots. But.
Right. I mean, I think you're more likely to have some sort of, you know, collector road that would go through at a public standard that's going to provide fire access and that sort of thing. And then you'll have, for that intensive of development, you'll have a public road with private roads coming off of it.
Cul-de-sacs
or loops.
No,
like
that. Right across
the street.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. I'll do that.
Right.
Okay. I figured it would be a book that thick. So is it like pick one from column A and one from column B?
Well, one thing we can do, and I don't know if this group wants to reconvene or not, but I'd like to take a crack at wordsmithing what you've given me. I'm going to borrow heavily, obviously, from the LDAC stuff, but I can wordsmith something that I think mirrors that, but...
We would love you to do that, David. That would be great. Yes, you're right. You got my vote on that one.
But then we could point to a few different standards. They're in table 3.1 of the functional classification standards, and you have a minor collector, local collector, residential, limited residential, and restricted residential. Those are existing standards, and you could point to any one of those.
Is this the 8 o'clock meeting?
It not quite. It will be at 8 o'clock.
Okay. So those are existing standards that we have. And what we could do is write up the language and just refer to language standard and essentially give you the table.
Okay.
Pick.
That works for me.
You don't have to hunt.
That, that works for me.
And I. It was just personal preferences. You're not changing this. Anything.
I agree with that.
Anything, you're going to an existing standard.
Would that be easier in the long run than going with the like the driveway standards we did for Article 76 for the one-lane portion of any of these? With the stricter residential is a little bit tougher standard. Maybe we don't need that for the private road. For instance, I don't know if this is talking about surfacing on those on the restricted residential road, whereas I think our goal is to let people surface it however they want.
Right. This does have surface type as part of it, yes.
Probably paved.
You could also reference a standard with the exception of surface component or something. But easier to refer to the standard and accept certain things out than maybe come up with a new one.
I would say you do that first.
Though I would confer with Chuck and Nora before we come up with that table. But if you want to see a table of maybe a couple of different existing standards, lay those out and say that one works or it doesn't.
Before we adjourn here, and we are up against a time crunch, I'd like to do two things. First of all, Nora, I'd like to thank you and your staff at Public Works for putting this information together and being here at our beck and call, and I appreciate that. The next thing I just want to get from the subcommittee, and I'm trying to, my thinking is that it's going to take David a while to get this thing together.
Right.
Whether we want to come back as a subcommittee or whether we should come back as a work session, just a general planning work session. Comments?
Oh, I think we should just go right to the full committee.
That's kind of where I was leaning, too. Ron, I didn't see you. You're not thinking that, huh? I saw you kind of flinch there.
Initially, no, but then I think...
I think Dave will be ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm kind of future birds of fun seed that way. So.
I'd kind of like to get this all, you know, before. So, because I don't know if we could come back here and we would just have to rehash whatever we did here at the full, at a work session before the full planning commission.
I think you'd be ready.
Okay.
Workshop.
So, timing? Last item. What do we set something, or do we wait for you to get back to us?
I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Actually, I have one question. What do you mean about the connectivity issue? What if you have 20 or 30 acres that you can develop into 5-acre plots and it happens to feed off of a BLM road? How do you, I mean, given the state of the federal government, how do you ensure that person who wants to buy a lot out there that
we
years from now is going to have a road?
We addressed that at our last meeting. We voted to allow development off of BLM roads.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah, I couldn't believe
it. given what the federal government's done in the last...
That's what LDAC wanted us to do, though.
That place you're taking a fair
price. No, I know.
Thank you all. Thank you, Ken, for the use of your gavel.
So did you adjourn that, Dave?
Did we adjourn? No, I guess we didn't officially adjourn.
Because
this meeting is adjourned.